الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. أما بعد، استعدوا للموت. Prepare yourself for death. It's an interesting khutbah. We will see what the Shaykh will or what he had already discussed in it. He said, whenever the individual reflects upon the condition of the world today, he finds that it is flaming with trials and events and disturbing occurrences that further burn it day after day. Many victims, many of them have not committed anything, yet they are victimized, except that they live in a land where the people are being harassed. You will not find a single issue subsiding, except that there's another one that explodes on the other side, and perhaps it is even more evil than the first one. And the manner in which we have this information conveyed to us is through these channels and stations that are strictly dedicated to conveying the news, which claims that it is keeping us up to date. Many of the people today have become heedless about a huge event and a serious matter. In fact, most of them are, how often or how abundant are the victims of that, that matter, which is those who are heedless about this great event. No one is able to escape this calamity, the calamity which no one can escape. It is death. Perhaps today you could hardly see the trace of people reflecting upon death in their lives, the traces of that in their lives. Nay, but you don't even see people mentioning death at all today. This is, besides the fact that we have a shortage in those who admonish and exhort the people and remind them of Allah, this is besides the fact that we have multiple gatherings, social gatherings and media all over the world, which continues to keep the people distracted without reminding them of death or even mentioning it before them. And the amazing thing is the fact that many of the Muslims, may Allah guide them, the news of death comes to him about a relative or a friend, and it makes no change in him. Neither in his tongue by actually seeking forgiveness for the dead, nor by himself benefiting. People go to the graveyards, they walk among graves, and while they're doing so, they're speaking about the dunya and its adornment. And that's something I've seen with my own eyes. In funeral, brothers are joking while going to bury the man, and joking on the way back, laughing loud, as if you're not walking in a funeral. Allah musta'an. The Shaykh said, we have forgotten about death and all the calamities that will come after it, that will follow it, which has caused our hearts to become very hard. And we have reached a point where the death of people around us is not even a source of admonishment and a reminder for us. Slaves of Allah, Allah had decreed that everything shall perish except Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Kullu man alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Everybody knows Surah Ar-Rahman. Everyone upon it shall perish, and the face of your Lord, full of grace and majesty, will remain. And as we know in the belief system of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when we speak about Allah's face, we're speaking about Allah, because we don't understand Allah in body parts as you do with human beings. So Allah Azza wa Jal will remain, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, while we affirm the presence or the existence of a face. The Shaykh said the death is a serious factual matter that cannot be prevented, and there's no escape from it, and there's no one to intercede for the one whose time has come. Every soul shall taste death, then to Allah, then to us you shall return. Jinn and ins die, so do the angels and those who carry the throne of Allah. And the ever living who never dies is the only one who will remain. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the irresistible, is the only one who is described with permanence and continuity. Everything else is bound to perish at some point in time. So then he will be the last. This is why Allah al-awwalu wal-akhir. Allah is the first and the last. There will be nothing after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The same way there was Allah and there was nothing else besides Him. Death has confused the minds of the intellectuals, and it has, and its depth had mesmerized them. The concept of death, it does not show mercy to the young, nor does it honor someone who's old. It divides groups. It destroys pleasures. How many moments of happiness became moments of sadness? And I've read this in the news a few times myself. You know, people going to a wedding, and on the way to the wedding, a car crash, and you know, the father and the mother and the relatives of the groom died. I mean, it was supposed to be a wedding, a day of happiness, and the very day of happiness became a day of disaster and a calamity for them. Death does not make such distinctions. It doesn't take into consideration, wallah, today you graduated, meaning all the news will be good, or that your time has not come. When the time comes, the time comes, irrespective of the situation. A father is among his children, joking with them and playing with them, full of happiness and excitement, and all of a sudden this happiness becomes sadness, and the boy becomes an orphan by the death of the father. A mother fills her house with compassion, with love, with the kindness. She's gentle towards her youngsters. She kisses them. She wipes over their heads. She plays with them. And all of a sudden, she's gone, and what remains is emptiness, lack of love, lack of compassion, and lack of someone taking care of the children. And even the young boy, who's running around the house making noise and screaming, and breaking plates and, you know, breaking stuff, and all of a sudden, you look at him after his soul is gone, and he's just motionless. He doesn't move, he doesn't say anything, he doesn't do anything. So, la ilaha illallah, how great is his wisdom and how excellent is his arrangement of affairs. O Ummah of Islam, who guarantees himself protection from death? Who can guarantee, you know, people buy insurance today, even though insurance is not permissible. It's a gambling. When you say, I'm going to give the insurance company 100 riyals a month, if something happens to me, they will cover me for 500,000 riyals, which you don't have. And if nothing happens to you, they will take away the money. It's the same guy at the casino who says, I want 50 riyals on number 5. The guy throws the dice. If he gets on number 50, he gets 5,000 riyals. If it doesn't, he takes his money. This is like that. And the fatwa of the scholars are all over, but that's a whole other discussion. Anyways, who can, even if you have insurance, can you have insurance against death? Any insurance company have a policy? Say, you know, we guarantee you will not die for the next 10, 15 years. No one can do that. They can guarantee all kinds of things, or they think they can guarantee, but they, no one has a guarantee against death. Adam, the chosen man by Allah, died. And so did Ibrahim, alayhi salatu salam, the Khalil of Rahman, the best friend of Allah, and the one whom Allah spoke to, Musa, and Isa, who will die eventually. But even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, and he is the most beloved of creation to Allah. And many Muslims, by the way, especially, you know, those who have been taught otherwise, when they hear you say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, like they panic and they get, you know, they shake. Say, what do you mean that he didn't die, he's alive? Akhi, he died. The Sahaba, they shrouded him, they prayed janazah on him, they buried him. Do you do this to someone alive? Do you do this to someone alive? And Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Verily, without a doubt, you are dead. By the way, the tense used is not the future. It's in the present tense. Meaning indicating the inevitability of this happening. It's inevitable. You are dead and they are dead. He died, alayhi salatu wasalam. He lives a special life in the interval as the shuhada live and as other prophets live, unlike the world of the dunya. So you can't go over there and have conversations with him as many people think. Oh Messenger of Allah, we have drought. Oh Messenger of Allah, my son. He's not sitting there having conversations with the people that visit him, alayhi salatu wasalam. If you send the salam on him, Allah will return his soul. Angels will deliver the salam. His soul will be returned. He will respond and reply to your salam. Khalas. That's what we have of evidence. We don't have anything else. So be careful of this innovative belief system that the Messenger of Allah is so special he didn't die. He died, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though he's the most beloved of creation of Allah, to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And there isn't anything in the heavens and the earth and between them that is more honorable and more virtuous to Allah than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if this dunya was to remain for anyone, then it would have remained for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would have remained here until the end of time. But Allah said, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. Wherever you may be, death will catch you. Yudrik, idrak is to actually catch something that is on the verge of being lost. Even if you try to escape death, it will catch you even if you are in fortified fortresses. You're hiding in the biggest, you know, construction. No tanks, no airplanes can destroy it. The angel of death will go through all of these. You can have all kinds of security guards. No one can say, excuse me, this is, you know, our special president or anything of this nature. The angel of death will go through anyone without a pass. Take the soul of this man and leave. Subhanallah al-Azim. Say, verily the death you're trying to escape shall inevitably meet you. Then you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and that which is witnessed. Then he will inform you concerning everything which you used to do. So the Shaykh said, so if death is the ultimate destination for every living thing, and if it is the end, then why does the one who has an intellect, has a brain, why does he not take a reminder? Why does he not become among those who are awake? Why remain in the state of heedlessness while death has no escape? And all of us are returned to Allah. Today you give condolences, tomorrow condolences will be given about you. They will be given on behalf of your family, on your behalf. This is the reality of the matter. Today you cry, tomorrow they will cry over you. Today you carry people to the grave and tomorrow you will be carried to the grave. O believers, where is our preparation for meeting death? Have we prepared for these calamitous moments? In the grave, during the questioning, during the resurrection, during the reckoning, when the sheets will fly, the sheets of deeds, the books of deeds will be flying around, and when standing before the hand, before the irresistible, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adi ibn Hatim, he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there isn't anyone amongst you except that his Lord will speak to him without any translator being involved. Even if you don't speak Arabic, whatever the language you speak, Allah will speak to each person. No translator will be present to translate the conversation back and forth, because Allah created the languages. Allah knows everything. Then the person who will be standing before Allah, he will look to his right and he will see that which his hands had put forth. He will look to his left, he will see that which his hands put forth. He would look before him and he will only see the fire. Then protect yourselves from the fire even by giving half a date in charity or even by saying a good word. Do something to protect yourselves from the fire. Because on the day of judgment you look on the right, we look on the left, nothing but deeds. Money will not be there. The nice car will not be there. The fancy house will not be there. The entourage, the big clan that we had, our tribe, will not be there. No one will be there, not even your parents. يوم يفر المرء من أبيه إلى آخره من أخيه وأمه وبيل آيات. You know them, many different آيات. On the day where the man will run away from his father, his mother, his friends, his brothers, his wife, his children, وصاحبته وبنيه. لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغني. Everyone will have something that will occupy him. Even the closest relatives will not recognize you on that day. So how will we meet Allah? And amongst us are those who consume usury and interest. They eat riba, whether they pay it or they consume it, or whether you are the witness or you are the one writing the contract. In the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, he said, لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا آكل الربا وموكله وكاتبه والشاهدين وقال كلهم سواء. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed the one who pays riba, the one who consumes riba, the one who writes the contract, and the two witnesses. He said all of them are the same in evil and sin. They all share the same amount of sin, whether you are consuming it or simply writing the contract. So if one of us works in a business where all, every day he's signing and approving contracts of riba, let him fear Allah and look for another job. Don't say, brother, but my kafil, I cannot transfer this and that. This is all from the shayateen. If you have taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for you. You cannot remain in a job which is haram, thinking that Allah will not give you another job if you fear Him. If you have taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for you. But we don't want taqwa, we don't do taqwa, but we want the result. It doesn't work this way. You leave something for the sake of Allah, wallahi, Allah will give you something better in return. Because the Prophet ﷺ promised that. And he doesn't speak of his own desires. But lack of faith or weakness of faith is the main reason why we don't do it. We're afraid. Don't be afraid. Leave alone the job. If you're involved in riba, leave alone. How are we preparing for death? And among us are those who are fornicating and committing adultery. And wallah, I receive emails that I don't believe. People in Jeddah, brothers and sisters, youngsters, teenagers, maybe your own children, you don't know. I received the emails. I met such and such boy, and our parents said we should be friends, and they are relatives of ours, and brother, I'm sorry to tell you, I slept with him. Now what do I do? Will Allah accept my repentance? I'm reading these emails like, no way, this is here. Wallahi, if not every week I receive an email of this nature. People here committing these kinds of crimes. Parents think their children are angels. They give them the internet access, and they give them the Blackberries, and they give them everything in the world, and they think they have angels at home. La habibi, wake up and smell the coffee. Children are cooking all the time. And you need to stay, you know, don't become extreme, but you need to follow up with them. See what's going on. Children are falling into major sins. This is besides the emails of sisters sending me an email. My father gave me a laptop, and I found on the laptop pictures of him with many women besides my mom. And I don't know what to tell my mom. And should I tell my mom or should I not? Wallahi, these emails are from here. I don't believe what I receive. Yes. Zina. Spread among the Muslims from the signs of the Day of Judgment. How will we meet Allah Azza wa Jal? How will we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this grave sin? Which if you were to be caught, you'll be stoned to death if you're married, and you'll be lashed 100 times and kicked out of the country for a year if you were not. This is the worldly punishment. And if someone doesn't repent, then what is with Allah is even more severe and worse. How is it then that there are amongst us those who sell his honors for some worldly gain? How will we stand before Allah Azza wa Jal? And amongst us are those who are negligent about their salah. Half of the week, Fajr is asleep, and Dhuhr is at work, and Asr, I'm too tired, and Maghrib, I was eating, and Isha, we make it to the third Jama'ah. That's what you see every day in the masajid. Illa man rahim Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a calamity. Negligence concerning the salah. How will we meet Allah? And there are amongst us those who are conspiring against Islam, striving and destroying Islam here and there. By Allah, I ask you, how will it be then if we spread corruption upon earth and we sever our kinship ties? And amongst us are those who are undutiful to their parents. Ironically, the lecture we had on Monday was about the rights of parents. And those who attended realized how many shortcomings we have with our parents. Amongst us are those who are negligent concerning our parents. Amongst us are those who don't even care for the affairs of the Muslims. And among us are those who are transgressing against the limitations of Muslims and their rights. Among us are those who steal, and those who rob, and those who cheat, and those who consume people's rights wrongfully. So Allah, do not leave us in this condition, and do not make us among the heedless. O Ummah of Muslims, when death comes, it comes suddenly. And a man does not know when his time has come. This is why one must be prepared by being engaged continuously in righteous deeds, so that when you die with a good end. You die while pleasing and worshipping Allah. Because a man will be resurrected upon that which he died. The state which you die in, you'll be resurrected in the same state. The man who fell off his camel and he was killed in Ihram and Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not shout, do not wash him. Don't do ghusl for him. Shroud him with his own ihram. Verily he will be resurrected on the day of judgment saying, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. He will be resurrected in the state of talbiyah. You die doing salah, you will be resurrected in the state of salah. We die smoking a cigarette and you will be resurrected disobeying Allah smoking a cigarette. We have to be very careful. So if you smoke, you know, 1-2 hours of your day of smoking, the chances of you dying in this state are very high. If you never smoke and you die, you can never die smoking because you're not a smoker. Sins. Make sure that we are upon righteousness. Whoever dies prostrating will be resurrected prostrating. And what I mentioned to you earlier, whoever dies for the sake of Allah, he'll be resurrected with his blood smelling like musk, even though the color is the color of red blood. So the people will know that he's a shaheed. And whoever dies disobeying Allah will be resurrected in this fashion. Choose for yourself what you think is most befitting. The Shaykh said, and we're almost done, alhamdulillah. If this is the truth of the matter, then why are we so content with our dunya? If this is the ultimate destination, then why are we so in love with this dunya? Why are we fooled by it? And Allah Azza wa Jal had clearly warned us against the dunya. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. So do not be deceived by the worldly life, and do not let the chief deceiver, Satan, deceive you. This is the warning of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal says to those who have been overwhelmed and tricked and deceived by the dunya, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Nay, but you favor the life of this world, however the life to come is khayrun, better, wa abqa. Sighatul tafdil. It's like in English you have comparative and superlative, and this is in the superlative form, meaning the most lasting. It is the most lasting because it doesn't end, the life to come. So what is this dunya compared to the life to come? Ya'ani, if a woman presents herself before you, wal'iyadu billah, and it's a fitna, but you remember Hur al-Ain, that you will enjoy eternally. This will help you leave alone the sin. This will help you leave alone the sin. If we don't look forward to Jannah, then we want the immediate pleasure, we will go for it. So it's the fear of Allah and hope in the reward in the life to come that will prevent someone from engaging in these sins. The life to come is better and most lasting. The Prophet ﷺ said, in reinforcing this idea, verily this dunya, حلوة. You know حلا, يتحلى, sweet. It is sweet. وخضرة, it is green. People love greenery. That's why they have gardens in the front and gardens in the back and gardens all over the place. Even people buy fake trees and plants, they put them at home. Why? It looks green. That's just a human nature. That's why Jannah is described as Jannatin Alfafa. Lush, you know, lush gardens, there are many branches intertwined. And this is something that is beloved to the son of Adam by default. This is in our, you know, we're predisposed to love these things. And so Allah made this dunya sweet. Ya Shaykh, Habibi, at telephone. Ma fi ahad, Allah musta'an. This dunya is sweet and green. Now listen now. And Allah has placed you as deputies. He has placed you as those in charge. So He will see how you will act. So then protect yourself from the temptation of the dunya and protect yourself from the temptation of women. These are the two main calamities. Loving the dunya, loving women. Protect yourself from these two, inshallah you'll be saved. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, if this dunya was equal to the weight of the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah, He would not have given the disbeliever a sip of water to drink. But this whole dunya and everything in it is not worth to Allah the wing of a mosquito. Not even the wing of a mosquito. That's as small as a wing can be perhaps from what we see with our naked eye. Maybe in the microscope, that's a whole other thing. But things we see with our own eyes, the mosquito is smaller than a fly. And the dunya, the whole dunya is not equal to one wing from the wings of the mosquito to Allah. This is why the kafir has, you know, hummers and big mansions and, you know, all these things. Because Allah doesn't care for the dunya. He lets them have it, but they will have nothing in the life to come. Furthermore, Al-Hasan says, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went by a garbage bin, a dumpster. And he remained there for some time. So his companion said, then he looked at his companion and said, this is the dunya which you are striving for. See this dumpster? This is the equivalent of the dunya which you are striving and exerting your lives for. SubhanAllah al-Azim. How wise. Furthermore, Ali ibn Abi Talib said, verily, the dunya has started to depart, and the life to come has started to arrive, and everyone will be among the children. So be among the children of the life to come, and do not be among the children of this worldly life, because today there is work and deeds, no accountability, and later there will be accountability and no deeds. This is from the wisdom of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. In finality, the Shaykh said, he will conclude the khutbah with the following. Every person looks for a good end. And it is from the signs and indications that Allah is pleased with this person and that Allah has shown special mercy to that person. And for someone's good end, for us to say this person died in a good way, we have some signs and indications. First, that the last thing that the slave says is La ilaha illallah. Because of the hadith which was narrated and collected by Al-Hakim from Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever's last word are La ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. And there's a very authentic story that happened here in the kingdom about some shabab, some teenagers who were obsessed with listening to music, and they got in a car accident. And the man was on the verge of death. His soul was leaving his body. The people came and started saying, La ilaha illallah. Say La illallah. And he started singing. He started singing his favorite song and he died in this fashion. People love music. You love music, then music will be the last thing you will say before you die. And then you will meet Allah Azza wa Jal with something that is not acceptable in Islam in any way, shape or form. And this applies to our ringtones. And yes, the Nokia ringtone is haram. Some people think like, I don't know why, it's an exception to the rule. You know that, whatever, however it goes. Akhi, this is music. And if you didn't know this came with the Nokia phone, you heard it elsewhere, you'll think it's a regular musical tone. We cannot have a music on our phones, we cannot have it at home, on TV. If you're watching a TV program and it has music, it's haram for you to watch it. Because the music of the Quran of the Shaitan music and the Quran of the Rahman cannot coexist in the heart of a slave. They cannot. If the Quran of Allah comes in, the Quran of the Shaitan leaves. If the Quran of the Shaitan leaves, the Quran of Allah will leave. Now we have to make a choice. Which one you think you want to have in your heart before you meet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Secondly, among the signs that someone had died had a good end, is that you die while engaging in a righteous deed. The hadith says, if Allah intends goodness for a slave, then He will utilize him for that which is good. How will He do so? He will wait for him to get engaged in an act of worship, then He will claim his soul. And how many people died in Taraweeh in this last year? in the messages I received, I told you before, 2 to 3 people died in Salatul Taraweeh. And how many people die in Hajj? And how many people die in Umrah? Alhamdulillah. This is someone dying while engaged in an act of worship. A third indication that it's a good end is that you die as a martyr in Allah's cause. And this has a number of ways it manifests, not only in battlefield, but according to the authentic narrations, if you die because of a building or some construction falling on you, a construction, and some of the scholars say even a car accident, because it is, you know, by analogy, it is the same thing as a pillar falling on you, a car slamming you and crushing you is similar to that. So some of the scholars said dying in a car accident may be categorized under martyrdom. Alhamdulillah. Secondly, dying because you're burnt, being burnt, drowning, and a woman who dies while delivering a child. And whoever asks Allah for shahada, Allah will give him the reward and the status of the shuhada, even if he died in his bed, as it comes in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among the signs of a good end is that you die on the day of Jumu'ah or its night, and that I need to verify. Anyways, I'll quote it for now. The hadith says, there isn't a Muslim who dies on the day of Jumu'ah or the night of Jumu'ah except that Allah will protect him from the punishment of the grave. And we let's say the hadith is sahih, we must understand the qawaid of Islam. Such narrations are not to be applied across the board. And you cannot be a fornicator, a thief, a robber, an alcoholic and say, well, I died on Jumu'ah, meaning he's been protected from the punishment of the grave. Usually, these narrations are for the one who is already upright. For someone who's already righteous, then this is a bonus for them. It doesn't apply to anyone. And that I know from the fundamentals of Islam. The hadith anyways, we'll verify it bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. I've come across it many times, but I don't remember what the fatwa was about the authenticity. Ala kulli hal. Among the signs that you have died with a good end, is that your forehead sweats. Many of us are sweating now, but we're not dying. So that doesn't mean anything yet. But if you were to sweat and the perspiration was to appear on your forehead, then this is a sign that you are having a good end. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the death of the believer is identified through the sweat of his forehead. And the meaning of that, as Ibn al-Arabi said, this is other than Ibn Arabi. Ibn Arabi is one of the biggest Sufis that you don't, his aqidah is corrupt. Ibn al-Arabi is a scholar of Islam, which we love and respect. He said what is intended, that Allah will facilitate death upon him, and so he does not find hardship in the moments of his soul departing his body, and so this appears on his forehead. Anyways, there's a different interpretation of that. And then he made dua that Allah will facilitate for us the moments of death, and he gives us a good end, and he makes Jannah our final abode and destination, and that he guides us, you know, through iman and forgives us our sins. I apologize for being late. There's a lot of traffic. I barely finished the khutbah, then I drove here right away. I apologize for being late. I'm starting to think that whenever I'm engaged elsewhere, I should not come, in order not to keep the brothers delayed. Or do you not mind waiting, you know? It's better than nothing, right? Jazakumullah khairan. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you.